As we return to the worship of God on this Lord's Day evening, we take up the praise of God in Psalm 111. Psalm 111, we'll find it on page 150, and we'll sing the whole psalm. Praise to the Lord. I will extol him while gathering with the upright. Great are the works of God, and pondered by all who in them take delight. His deeds are glorious and majestic. His righteousness endures always. He caused his works to be remembered. Kind is the Lord, and full of grace. And so we'll sing through the whole psalm, through to the end, Psalm 111. Let's stand to sing and stay standing after that to pray together.
To the Lord I will exalt him while gathering with whom he upright. Great are the works of God, and pondered by all who with them take delight.
Acknowledge you, O Lord, as the Almighty God, the one true and living God, the one to whom eternal praise does belong. But we acknowledge you as this because you have made it known to us. Only because of your great work towards us, the measure of your great love, because of which you have reached out to us and granted your redemption and deliverance, that your covenant has endured, your promises to overcome sin and death were always going to be accomplished. And we have seen that, O Lord, all the more. And as we remember in a particular way today, as we are mindful of what the world does here, again, on this day, that you'd have come among us, that Jesus was born, the Son of God who became true man, that he might save his people from their sins and from the death that follows. O Lord, this is a mighty work. This is beyond our understanding, but yet you give understanding. You are to be feared in all your greatness. You cannot be understood. All things beyond our thinking and imagining. But we give thanks, O Lord, that as we come better and better to recognize this, it is the path of great wisdom to walk humbly before our God and to seek in all things to uphold your name, to uphold your word, to observe your law and to delight in it, and to walk in the light, even now, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now as we come to the last Lord's Day of this year, that we will be those who do ponder frequently the greatness of your works and lift up your name accordingly, that we will be those who remember your works and who turn all things unto your praises, your honor, your blessing. We pray that this evening will be profitable for each one of us. We give thanks that you have drawn us aside for this time, and help us to see that there is no thing in this life before death that is as great as this privilege to worship our God in the name of the Lord Jesus. So receive us, we pray, in him once more this evening. Work in us your own strength, for we are weak. But so may the glory be yours. We pray these things, Lord, once more, seeking that pardon of sin, that we might be heard and received and accepted before you, righteous in your sight, all and only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn first this evening in our Bible readings to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and chapter 2, as we endeavor to read through the New Testament alongside other readings in the evening, and in approximately a chronological order in which the books were produced. We began last week in the first chapter of this book. So this evening, the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'm just reading just so far there in that letter, but also if you would turn with me to the last book in the New Testament, the book of Revelation. The prophecy is revealed to the Apostle John, and reading chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Praise be to God. May we set blessing upon this word as we read and hear his word this evening together. Let us make response by words of thanksgiving. Psalm 105, we sing together Psalm 105. Page 138. And we'll sing the first three stanzas, the verses marked 1 through to 9. Psalm 105 on page 138. Give thanks to the Lord God and call on his name. His wonderful deeds to the nations proclaim. Sing praises to him and his exploits record. Let all those who seek him rejoice in the Lord. And so through the verses we sing through to verse 9, it refers to the promises he made, the covenant he made, the promise to Abraham, and that great promise that in the seed of Abraham all the nations of the earth will be blessed, as we find in Christ Jesus, his great Son. Psalm 105, then, verses 1 to 9, let's stand to sing together.
Give thanks to the Lord God, our God, his name. His wonderful deeds to the nations proclaim. Sing praises to him and his exploits record. Let all those who seek him rejoice in the Lord. You children once looked to the Lord and his might. Seek ever and his saints and his wondrous rings high. His miracles to and his judgment divine. You children of Abraham, Jacob's own line. The Lord is our God and he rules all the earth. Remembering his covenant, the word he set forth. He has for the ages to come to be good. His promise to Abraham, to Isaac in him.
Please be seated. We come again to seek God. Let us pray together. O Lord our God, we do give thanks for your remembering of your covenant, that you should not forget, and that this covenant is worked out, accomplished so beautifully, and yet with such dealing with such ugliness of man and man's sin, the very sin that has brought your Son among us for our deliverance, the sin that did put him to death, the ugliness of man's own wisdom, so far removed from you. Indeed, seeking to be removed from you. But we praise you, O Lord, that yet you have come and you have kept coming. You have returned time and again to make your word known. We give thanks that we might know it ourselves continually, for we do fall aside so readily. We give thanks that week by week we might hear your call to us, to look again on the Lord Jesus, to set aside those things that so, the sins that so easily beset us and the hindrances to our faith, to set our eyes firmly upon him in the knowledge that having begun such a good work, He will finish. He will complete. For this too is your promise, that your salvation is not just for the beginning, but even as you took your people Israel out of Egypt, it was in order to take them into the promised land. And so much more then, take your people into the rest that waits for the people of God. We pray, Lord, that we might be renewed in that confidence ourselves, each one, or perhaps for some to enter into it for the first time, and to know that you are pleased to give such confidence, that this is not a thing that you are miserly with, but you glory in bringing men to yourself, for it is to the greater honor of this Lamb that was slain, your own beloved Son. And so we pray that you would extend the work of your kingdom. May it be through your people. Your people are revived and renewed day by day, being drawn more and more to meditate on your word and to delight in it, that rather than walking in the way of sinners, sinners might be turned to walk in the way of the righteous and of their God. We pray for every ministry. We pray for those who do struggle at this very time, some who are laid aside with ill health, and we commend to you such as Alistair I. MacLeod in St. Andrews, although he perseveres. We pray for Kenny I. MacLeod in Stornoway, and ask, Lord, that you would restore him to health and watch over him and his family in a time when they may well be anxious over his well-being. We pray for the congregation there and for your upholding of them in his absence. We pray, Lord, too, as we think of them, we pray for Meg's brother Ian and his anticipation for taking up the role of moderator in the assembly in just a few months' time. We pray for James McKeever as he continues in this role in these coming present months. We pray for Kenneth MacLeod of Thurso and ask, Lord, that in the treatment of his cancer you would grant your hand of healing and of strengthening in this time as well. We pray for David Robertson and commend to you as well Bob Aykroyd in his oversight of the congregation in Dundee while David recovers. We pray that David will recover, but that he and those around him will have great wisdom and not to be premature nor to return to the old ways, but to be wise in the work that he undertakes. We give thanks, Lord, that we might bring these before you. We pray that there will be a good working of your Spirit in the hearts of those that are suitable to take up ministry in this nation, whether in our own denomination in Scotland or from Scotland, or those around us here. We give thanks for those who are faithful in their gospel ministry that we can share in. Some of us gathered here this evening on a rare occasion. We commend to you the congregations that are represented here. We pray for them that they would be also faithful where you have placed them, not just in a geographical location, but in the lives of people around them, and every extent that reaches. And in a particular way, sharing, Lord, and rejoicing to do so with the needs and the desires of the congregation, our sisters in sister congregation in London City. We pray, Lord, that you would uphold them in their time without a minister, that you would guide them again according to your wisdom, that be led to be led by the very Spirit of God. Lord, we also commend to you the more personal needs among ourselves here and amongst those that we have a care for and a concern for, amongst our families. We pray at this time especially for a number among ourselves, but also known to us, who have been bereaved through this past year, and for many this particular time of year might bring that to mind in a particular way. And we ask, Lord, that you would uphold them at such a time as this. And as we do think of the Hafnan family in this regard, we remember as well Ray and Sandra Chaplin, and we rejoice in their fellowship with us over the years and their continued remembrance of us. We ask, Lord, that in this and in so many other needs that we have, the needs of strength day by day, of wisdom day by day, that you will be our minister also and uphold us, but that we might return the service unto you, for you are worthy of this, even in this life, that we too, by our lives, will answer Amen to these great words of praise. So we pray that you would receive us now, do pardon sin, remove it far from us, and glorify yourself, we pray. This we ask for the sake and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we open God's Word, may I just express a word of welcome to visiting with us this evening. It's great to have you all and a great encouragement this evening on this particular day. I pray that God will grant you blessing. And just one little item, there are a number of items. I don't know if there was a sheet available for you. If there wasn't, our service sheet, ask for one when you go out. Somebody else can perhaps share one with you. But otherwise, there are various notices printed, but one to draw to your special attention is after the service this evening, we'd like to invite as many as are free to pop up to the manse for a cuppa for however long, although hopefully you'll be heading home by midnight. We would like to see you if you can make it for a few minutes at least. But now let us turn to God's Word in the chapter in Revelation where we read chapter 5. And if I were to take a text, a specific text from this chapter this evening, it would be one word in verse 14 of chapter 5, the word Amen. In the suite of music by George Friedrich Handel called The Messiah, there are some wonderful passages. It's not a surprise because they are quite simply the text from the Bible set to music. And one of them, we know, brought one of the kings to his feet, the Hallelujah chorus, praise to our God, and he recognized that though he was king of England and perhaps the dominions, etc., there was a greater king still. Professor Alistair McGrath suggests that the Messiah was one of the contributing factors to the popularity of the King James Authorized Version. It had not picked up in such a popular way until around about the time that Handel produced this in 1740s. It took a long time before it really got a hold, but this is one way in which it seemed to get a hold of the general population. One day, not so long ago, I listened to the closing chorus, the Amen chorus. I listened to it. I've often heard it, but I felt I listened to it that day, and I felt I could taste just a hint of what John tasted that day in the throne room. In Revelation 5, verse 14, there was a sense that it was drawing you upwards, but there was a very clear sense as well that it set you thinking on what that Amen was the stamp on. What is it an Amen to? And to do that, to understand that, you need to go over, well, certainly this chapter. You need to go back through Scripture. You could go back through the Messiah itself, that whole composition. That Messiah that Handel composed to. It gathers together passages and texts from Scripture to tell, of, first of all, of the desperate need of man. Those that dwell in darkness, for example. And it tells us of the promises that God gave into that context. They shall see a great light. It goes on to tell and gather together the passages telling of the Savior, of the Messiah, of His saving work, those things that bring Him glory and honor. And then thirdly, in the third main part, we're taken to those places that outline the conquest of death leading to that life everlasting. But through it all, from the beginning to the end, is Christ, the Savior, Christ Jesus. Until you come to this, as this too is set to music, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And as you reflect on these things and you're brought to this point, what other answer can there be but Amen? So I would take you here quickly this evening to see the argument that is presented for Him in heaven, the argument to honor Him, the argument to which all heaven and earth can only bow humbly and shout, Amen. And we do see in this passage, the whole thrust of it is his worthiness, the worthiness of the Lamb. And this is affirmed with the great Amen in verse 14. But let's just recognize once more how worthy He is. Well, first of all, how the Lamb is worthy. In what way is He worthy? Then, too, we see in this passage what He is worthy of, worthy to receive. But to think, too, for a moment on who it is that says the Lamb is worthy. This is not just the great choirs in the Royal Albert Hall who sing the Messiah and sing that He is worthy. Who does say that He is worthy? We'll look at that as well. And so first of all, it tells us in this passage how the Lamb is worthy. In what way is He worthy? And I would take you back just for this evening to verse 9, for example, where we see the new song first. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Remember, there was no one found to be worthy in all heaven and on earth. That brought weeping to the Apostle John. But then an angel says, but no, wait. Look, see what he calls him in preceding verses. He calls him the Lion. What does he see when he looks for the Lion? He sees the Lamb that was slain. And it's of Him that the song is sung. Who sings it? In verse 8, we'll perhaps gather these together shortly, but the four living creatures, 24 elders, and they sang this new song, You are worthy, first of all, to take the scroll and open its seals. But He is worthy because He was slain. Again in verse 9, the middle of verse 9. Because He was killed, because He was murdered. And by that He has redeemed us to God by His blood. He has achieved the impossible. He has achieved the even unreasonable. There is no reason in us or in all creation why He should have been slain, except that He chose this path. Except that He loved us, and except that He hated sin in us. And here we read that it is the 24 elders who are the representatives of the church of all ages. I believe the four living creatures are, as one commentator puts it, the supreme representatives of all creation. If you were to have a look at the scene in heaven, you find that there is the throne room, and these four living creatures are the nearest that there are to the throne, in prime position, senior position. And these are the ones who acknowledge his worth. They confess that he is worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. As I understand it, that is, in very brief, it is summary, that he is worthy to rule, that he has the sovereign place, as the rest of Scripture testifies. That seems to be what's reflected by his coming to open the seals of the scroll, because it's in the opening of the seals of the scroll, the opening of the scroll, that the things unfold, the great story of Revelation, the great prophecy. And what follows is that there are those who are redeemed to him, and because he has that supreme position, they too are made as kings and priests to our God and will reign on the earth, in verse 10. Following this, in verse 11, John doesn't have the words to cover it all. He does his best by the leading of the Spirit. There's the many angels, the living creatures, those four living creatures, the elders, the 24 of them, and the number of them together was, and we're not meant to calculate this, it's without limit. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Vast numbers join in. They are in full agreement with his worth. Verse 12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing. These things are the right accompaniments of his position as the one worthy to take the scroll. Vast numbers join in agreement with that first testimony. Do you? Right now, this is not the way the world sees him. This is not thought to be wise in the terms that Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians 2. But God has given us a glimpse of what is to come, and therefore what is already. Surely this is already acknowledged in God's presence by those who are around him. He is worthy. And as it was in the first place, once again, there is just one reason that is given. It is because he was the Lamb who was slain. He was killed. That's what brings him the honor. Worthy of supreme honor. He's worthy to be the focus of the attention of these vast numbers. He's worthy to be the center of attention of verse 13. Every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, such as are in the sea, all that are in them, also cry worthy. Because, as that poor man said as he went through Galilee and Judea, he gave his life to be a ransom for many. What is he worthy of? We couldn't escape as we read through. The things he is worthy of are to open the seals on the scroll. We might say to open the course of history. But that has the implication that he himself is high and glorious. Who else can do such a thing? In whose hands is history? Only the one who is eligible to rule over all things. And he therefore has the stature to receive the service and worship of all things. Paul wrote to the Colossians chapter 1 from verse 17 and following, he says, he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, so that in all things he may have the preeminence, the very first. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness, we understand all the fullness of the Godhead, should dwell. Or as Paul wrote to the Corinthians later in that same letter in chapter 15, As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to the God the Father. May I pause there a moment? How can he deliver the kingdom to his Father except the kingdom is in his hands? He delivers the kingdom to God the Father when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for, quote, he has put all things under his feet. But when he, God, says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So it is that we find that first expression of praise, particularly in verse 12, he's worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then the second, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. The two are seen as distinct. The two persons, Father and Son. The one who sits on the throne and the Lamb, just as Paul portrayed in 1 Corinthians 15. But there the Lamb, the Son, has all things, and the time will come when all is complete and he will give them into the hand of him who is on the throne. But he has that supreme place, recognized by all creation. And with that place, with that right, belong the honor and the glory and the blessing. We know that there are kings or presidents of man who demand and they get glory of some kind. But the Lord has earned his glory, and therefore he will get blessing as well. It's just that, you might say, that cold glory. He has the richness of it. He has the response of those who have been redeemed. And the redemption of creation to bring blessing to his name. True glory, that inexpressible light, which he shares then with the one who is on the throne. When all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him. So he is worthy of that position. He is worthy of the glory and the honor and the blessing that belongs with that position. But who says the Lamb is worthy? I have mentioned that we first read of the four living creatures, these great creatures. We read as well of the 24 elders. Verse 8. We read then in verse 11 that these were followed by the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and these thousands. And then we read in verse 13, every creature, all that are in them, without exception. Paul, writing to the Philippians, he tells us that Christ had this mind in him to humble himself through to the death of the cross, the Lamb that was slain. That's him. And therefore, God has highly exalted him, given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. He is Lord. Who says that the Lamb is worthy of the highest honors? Who says that he's worthy of worship and of obedience as our God, our Lord, our King? It would seem to us day by day that there are just some of mankind. Creation surely also recognizes him. The mountains rejoice, the trees clap their hands, and so on, as the Psalms speak. But amongst men, it's just some. But be in no doubt whatsoever that the time is coming when there will be no doubters and there will be no objectors. John could see when it was happening. Paul anticipated when it was happening. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, can you go anywhere else? And all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Now you might well turn around and say, but isn't this about heaven? Isn't this about those who do trust in Jesus, who are believers? Well, it may be, but the fact is, John recognizes, and that it is treated as a universal. There is not one who does not say he is worthy. Every knee will bow. There will be no objectors, no doubters. Everyone will see, everyone will know, everyone will confess, everyone will praise him. And as if all that is not enough, then we hear those who know these things so well, the senior figures, as it were, in this scene, other than the one on the throne and the Lamb himself. Those four living creatures are the ones. I said it already, I understand this as rather the senior representatives of all creation in God's presence. They affirm. Amen. You said all that. Everyone has said he's worthy. And they say, they know, they say, Amen. Modern parlance? Absolutely. More sophisticated, perhaps, in older language. Quite right. Colloquially, you've got it. Definitely, precisely, exactly, truly. This is the truth. He's worthy. You say he's worthy. Everyone says he's worthy. You're right. Amen. All of those things, to the very highest possible degree, it is true. There should be no doubt about it. This is as it is. This is as it should be. Amen. What more can anyone say? But Amen. As we close this evening, closing our year of Sundays, our year of the Lord's Day, and singing Psalm 72, that His name should endure forever in blessing. Amen and Amen. Amen, so let it be. Amen, it is. But why leave it until then? As we sing tonight, such words, that word, let it take a hold of your heart. Let your life be the Amen to that praise to be anticipated. Let your life be an Amen on His life, His work, His glory. Whose? The Lamb that was slain. But Jesus died. Jesus was born. He came to die for your sins. He has a right to expect that our lives I'll be Amen to that. So much more for us, if He is the Lamb that was slain for us, for you, for me, that He is the sacrifice that God the Father has accepted to take sin from you. He is most worthy of your blessing and honor and glory and praise. To the glory of God the Father, give our Amen to all who do exalt His name. So may the Lord grant His blessing on His word this evening. think we will just make our response together by turning to sing together in Psalm 72. Psalm 72, the traditional version, page 314, if you need the words. The last three verses, or the last three stanzas, Mark 17 to 19. It is speaking of him ultimately. His name forever shall endure, last like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him, and blessed all nations shall him call. And then that double amen at the end of the psalm. Amen. So let it be. Psalm 72, 17 to 19. We'll stand to sing and stay standing after that for the Lord's blessing.
His name forever shall endure.
Blessing. First, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.